This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 49. Woohoo! On my way to 52. So the consensus seems to be that I should have a guest for episode 52, and I actually have a little idea who I should have, but I need to stop talking about this. So it's episode 49 today. We're not talking about that. It's Thursday today. I am going to come in for just a few hours tomorrow. Hopefully, though, tomorrow, for lunch, maybe, I'm going to have an appointment with someone else who can help me with my super secret project that I'm working on. I've actually taken a hiatus from writing at the moment because I had a little idea that dropped into my head, and I'm working on it. Anyways, as far as the beta readers are going, that all seems to be going just fine. Obviously, people enjoy shorter books. And Amanda and the Skleeberry Tree is an easy read. It's only 250 pages, and so that has been better for some people. They like shorter books. That's just fine. So next week, I will be getting the rest of the beta input in. And then I'll start next week editing up Amanda and the Skleeberry Tree. And hopefully we'll get that done in a couple of weeks, get that released. And then we'll see how the super secret project is going. And I might have a couple of more weeks on the super secret project. But then I get on to the next big writing project, which will be fun. I am on day 14. Of my attempt to go 21 days with no complaining, criticizing, or gossiping, with no grace. At least I think I'm going with no grace, because I did have, I mentioned last Thursday, one time when I was dangerously close to a criticism, but I really think I'm okay there. But so it's day 14. If next week it's day 21, then who knows? Maybe I'll go to day 28 just to say for sure. But honestly, it has gotten a lot easier. As I've been doing this for long enough now, it really has gotten easier to just make a habit of not being quick to figure out why other people aren't doing this where they should and all that kind of stuff. I need to blow my nose. Excuse me. I will try to do it softly. Anyways, today, I had a topic that just sort of appeared out of the blue. It appeared last Saturday when I was coming home from grocery shopping, and I was listening to NPR, and I heard Scott Simon do a commentary called Kevin Smith's Plus Size Predicament. And as I listened to that commentary, as I had just arrived home and I was unloading groceries, I thought, yeah, okay, that's the topic for this next week. Because within the commentary, while the commentary didn't address the issue directly that I'm going to talk about, it really did provide a amazing example of the techniques that the flesh uses in our lives, and specifically the techniques that the flesh uses with regards to consequence. And if we can learn to recognize these techniques, we can actually make a sizable advance in reducing the amount of influence that the flesh has on our lives. Now, even though you understand the techniques, it's still not the same as applying them. So the best I can do is simply put a flashlight on this and say, here's the techniques, but obviously it's still going to be up to you to implement them and to recognize when it's happening and then back yourself up and say, whoa, wait a minute, okay, hold it. Let me think about this in a different way. So let me just sort of quickly go through the commentary that Scott Simon had on the incident that we'll discuss, and then we'll see if we can draw some principles out of it and see how the flesh manipulates consequence in our lives to trick us into doing things that if we spent more time about thinking about what we were doing, we wouldn't do. Okay, big long setup. Anyways, the episode, his commentary was titled Kevin Smith's Plus Size Predicament. You can actually go to npr.org and read it if you just type in Kevin Smith's Plus Size Predicament. You may or may not have heard this story. You may or may not know who Kevin Smith is. He is a director in Hollywood. He has achieved some successes. One of his more famous movies was Clerks, which was about a couple of slacker guys. That went fairly well. He is about to have a movie released called Cop Out. And I was going to tell you who's in it. Bruce Willis. But it just flew out of my brain there for a minute. Bruce Willis stars in it. So, and obviously other actors. So Kevin Smith has achieved some measure of success. As such, he travels a lot. And several weeks ago, he was traveling somewhere, and he had actually purchased 2 airline seats, as was his normal practice, because he is a large man. He had purchased 2 seats on Southwest. Southwest has a policy that if, when you sit in an airline seat, if you cannot lower both of the armrests that flank you and fit comfortably between those 2 armrests and the amount of space that you take up, that you are required to buy a second seat. As a matter of course, Kevin Smith usually buys a second seat. He was able to get on an earlier flight where there was only 1 seat available. He decided to take it. He boarded the flight. Someone looked at him, made a judgment call, and a Southwest official came on the plane and asked him to deplane because, according to this official, he did not fit the criteria for sitting in only 1 seat. Now then, Kevin Smith then pulled out his phone, and he has 1.6 million followers on Twitter, and sent a Twitter message out about how he had been kicked off this plane. And obviously the message was filled with some emotion, and I actually have it in my notes, but I'm driving along. And if I hit a stop sign, I'll pull it out and read it to you real quick, which we may do that in a couple of minutes. But basically, what he said was, okay, look, I know I'm fat, and if I die early, that's my business, but be forewarned that if you're flying, you know, Southwest Airlines, that they may just come kick you off, but I can tell you right now, I'm not too fat to fly as a single person on Southwest Airlines. I mean, he was obviously quite upset about this and had sent some more Twitters about it. And he said that a Southwest airline agent actually offered him a $100 voucher as a way to apologize. And he shot back that they were just fatty haters. And he spouted off quite a bit about how that this airline obviously hates fat people, yada, 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 yada. Scott Simon rehearsed this incident from the approach of saying, well, yes, it's a person's right to eat what they want and to become as overweight as they want, but shouldn't airlines and businesses also have the right to restrict the services they will provide if if certain sizes of people cause there to be problems? I'm actually at a stoplight, so let me just read this real quick. This is what he wrote. Want to tell me I'm too wide for the sky? Totally cool, but fair warning, folks. If you look like me, you may be ejected from Northwest. Later on, he told his followers this. When they said there are safety issues, you're taking up more space than your allotted space, he said, that's a euphemism for fat. I am fat. If I die early because I'm fat, that's my choice. But I'm not fat enough to be ejected from a Southwest Airlines flight. Anyway, so I was listening to all of this. Scott Simon went on to say, to talk about how there's business flyers who look more like Kevin Smith than George Clooney in the movie Up in the Air, and how that's because the only exercise they get is walking through airports. And then Scott Simon finished up his commentary with lines about how that part of the reason that this story has gotten so much press is that we've all, as Americans, become larger, as airline seats have gotten smaller, such that even Tinkerbell would feel like Kevin Smith in one of these seats. Okay, so that was Scott Simon's take. That was Kevin Smith's take. Here's my take, okay? As I was listening to all of this, I thought, you know, from my perspective, this has nothing to do with the rights of individuals versus the rights of companies. This, for me, has much more to do with the mechanisms that the flesh uses to stop us from taking the actions that we know we need to take. And one of those mechanisms, and I've had some thoughts this week, this may turn into a series, I'm not sure about that yet, but one of the mechanisms is specifically how the flesh in our lives feeds consequences to us. How it manipulates our understanding of consequences to make our decision not to act in the way we know we should act more palatable. For instance, in this case, Kevin Smith's flesh is not going to tell him all of the consequences that would be involved with his overeating. It is going to focus him on only certain consequences, and it will be those consequences which it knows he will find acceptable. Now, why anyone would find a consequence of acceptable of dying earlier than he should, I don't know. But I have heard more than one person say, who was overweight and was continually overweight, well, I know this is bad for me, and I know I'm going to die younger than I probably would, but, you know, I enjoy food and I want to eat. Because what the flesh has done is it knows that the consequence of I'm going to die younger is far, far away into the future. And that's, in fact, what the flesh tells them. You know, that's a long way away. And so what if you die a couple of years early? I mean, look at how much you'll get to enjoy yourself. And this, apparently, is what the flesh has convinced Kevin Smith of. That even if he dies early, who cares? If he doesn't care about it, then he should just be able to eat what he wants and be fat. However, there are a whole host of other consequences to being overweight that the flesh is not going to highlight, and is specifically not going to highlight them, because it needs Kevin Smith to think that he understands what all of the consequences are. Several years ago, I have a buddy who did, several years ago, a buddy of mine, let's put it that way, did something really stupid. I am not going to go into what he did, but suffice it to say, it was really stupid. And if he had stopped and thought about the potential consequences, he never would have done it. But he didn't. And he moved forward thinking he understood the consequences And he didn't really care about those consequences. And because of that, my buddy now faces the prospect every day of getting up and getting a phone call and being told that charges have been filed against him and he might be going to jail. And he is going to face those consequences for many years to come. I should say face the potential of that consequence. And years ago, as we were discussing this, I stopped and looked at him and I said, you know, if you had any idea what this would have cost you. And he immediately shot back, I never would have done it. And I said, right. And that's what the flesh does. It hides all of the consequences that you will find unacceptable and tries to convince you that the consequences that you would find acceptable are the only ones that exist. So, in that context then, we see Kevin Smith convincing himself, his flesh convinces him, that being overweight is his business, and if it causes him to die younger, what's the big deal? When in fact there are other consequences involved. He wanted to take an earlier flight. He got on. Whether rightly or wrongly, he was on the bubble apparently enough that when one airline official looked at him, this airline official deemed him too wide to have a single seat. Now, then he has to get thrown off the plane, and the embarrassment of getting, he has to experience the embarrassment of getting thrown off the plane as a direct consequence of his lifestyle choice. However, this is the second part of what the flesh does. Once an unacceptable consequence comes along, it then turns around and tries to convince you that there's no connection between that consequence and your prior decision. And we see this behavior then that comes out of Kevin Smith, where he immediately starts to tweet, and he starts tweeting about the fact that the entire fault here lies with Southwest Airlines, that they're just fat haters and they're just fat bigots, and I'm not too wide to fly on their plane, and they just hate people who are fat. And he just goes off on this huge tangent because his flesh is stoking all these beliefs into his core and he's reacting against them. And the flesh is doing that to create this smoke screen to keep him from focusing on the fact that his life choices have led him to this place. I can tell you with great certainty that I have never been considered to be a person who was too wide to fit in an airline seat. That is nothing I have to be concerned about. I am not on the bubble with that issue. Period. But see, if the flesh can convince Kevin Smith that it was the airline's problem, not his problem, then the flesh can continue to have him go along thinking he actually understands all the consequences of his decision and nothing will ever change. I'm getting my mail. One moment. Now then, the flesh uses this... Oh, it's way far, far in there. One moment. There we go. Okay, I think I've got it all. The flesh uses this tactic over and over again. And the rule here for us is if you find yourself in a consequence suddenly, and your first inclination is to look around and find someone at fault who is around you and to say, they're the one that's led me here. Okay. You should stop. And you should say, wait a minute. What responsibility do I bear in this consequence? I'm backing into my garage. Because if you'll just stop, you may remember that in fact you heard a little whisper down in your spirit in close proximity to you suffering that consequence that said, you know, you might want to, whatever. You might remember that you had decided, you knew that you really needed to do something else, but you had decided, well, but if that happens, this happens, and I'll just deal with it then. You knew that you had blown off the consequences. But whenever you blow off consequences, rest assured that you probably don't know all the consequences. And so those are the two basic principles. If you blow off consequences and say those consequences aren't important, understand that there are probably extra consequences that you are not aware of. And secondly, when there are consequences that come up in your life, if you feel yourself reacting and trying to shift blame to someone else, rest assured that that is the flesh within you, and you should take a really hard look at what decisions you have made that have led to those consequences. Because if Kevin Smith had rocked back a moment and said, you know what? Maybe I'm not really too wide to get thrown off this plane, but I'm probably close. And if I wasn't so close to being that wide, there might not have even been the need for a deliberation on the matter. It wouldn't have even been a potential issue. And maybe the lifestyle choices I'm making have other consequences that are in the here and now as opposed to the by and by. And maybe if he had reacted that way, he would have stood the potential of making better choices in his life. The only other thing that I'd like to add on all this is it's really fascinating to me to watch how we tiptoe around sometimes the issues that are involved. Because Scott Simon, and I mentioned it, but I'm in my garage now, so I'll just go ahead and read it. Scott Simon had a couple of closing paragraphs on his commentary. They went like this. This is Scott Simon talking. But I'll bet there's also hurt behind Kevin Smith's bombast. Being thrown off a plane for being, I'll say it, he does, fat, must be humiliating whether you're a famous film director or a corporate road warrior who looks more like Kevin Smith than George Clooney because the only exercise you get is walking through airports. One reason the incident has gotten so much attention is that Americans grow famously larger, U.S. airline seats get noticeably smaller and cost more, getting in and out of them resembles doing origami with your body. An average airline seat can make Tinkerbell feel like Kevin Smith. Now, I would take exception with two things in there. First of all, corporate road warriors, no matter who they are, don't only have the potential of getting exercise walking through airports. There's always a way to get some exercise. And in addition, it's not really the exercise that is the thing. It is really what you eat. And this is being proven over and over and over again. If you want to lose weight and get more healthy, the simple prescription is eat what God has designed in the way God has designed it. I happened to go by an article that was talking about 10 supposedly healthy foods that are really calorie burners, and they mentioned in this article that a cup of grapes, as sweet as they are, a cup of grapes has 60 calories. A cup of raisins has 460 calories. 400 more calories. Why? Because we've taken what God has made and we've altered it. And I'm fond of telling people, the greatest secret to weight loss is that there is no secret. All you really have to do is eat what God made, the way God made it, and don't put a bunch of extra stuff on it, and then it's fine. And the other comment that I would just have about Scott Simon's commentary is that I don't feel like Tinkerbell. I'm not Tinkerbell, but I certainly don't feel like Kevin Smith when I'm sitting down in an average airline plane seat. I just whip my way around, sit myself down, and I've got my spot for the flight. And I say that not to pat myself on the back, but simply to say I've made certain choices in my life. Because looking long term, I understand what the consequences are. And when you factor all the consequences, you'll find it's much, much easier to make a good decision on a daily basis. So I would encourage you that if there's something in your life and you find yourself going, oh, yeah, well, but that's no big deal because I know I should do better. That's no big deal because XXXX, whatever. Just remember that the things you're saying are no big deal may not be a big deal, but there's other things that you're not factoring in because the flesh is trying to hide them from you. And then secondly, when you do hit one of those things the flesh is hidden from you, take a moment to step back and say, is this unacceptable consequence that I'm experiencing the direct result of decisions that I have made? This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.